attempt to bring this out. Always feel inadequate, but we're going to attempt to do so. We have been looking. I've gone completely away from what I told Brother Crabtree I was going to be teaching on, which is basic Bible doctrines, and we have been focusing in on preachers becoming pastors. Is that important?
Yes.
I hope so. Began the class explaining the poor history in some of the churches that we have fellowshipped with. Not every church has a good pastor. Is it important for you to know, you young preachers, how to be a good pastor?
Yes.
Thank you. You're the only one that's going to answer for me. Good, Jared. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Who'd like to read 1 through 3? But Jared, you're a one-man show. I guess you're it. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 3.
The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock.
Okay, feed the flock of God. And it hit me during Brother Dale's class, and so I added a verse here. How important is it to feed the flock? It is necessary. That's your job, is to feed the flock of God. That is a pastor's job, is to feed the flock. And what does he feed them? Doctrine, the word of God. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Who wants to get that one? BJ, go right ahead. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12.
Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth.
Okay, when I was reading this, what should you teach?
1 Timothy 4 calls us doctrine,
okay,
just teachings. And then you think there's all, yes, the whole Bible doctrine, but there's core doctrine that needs to be taught, maybe, and put an emphasis on, maybe over some other things.
Remind them.
We just had an ordination. What were all the questions? Were they about whose king was going to proceed up with this, or was it about, the Trinity, the Godhead, salvation, baptism?
Foundational doctrines, the things that maybe thinks, well, this is boring, we already know them. What was Brother Dale's class on?
Doctrines.
Boil it down.
Salvation.
Salvation. I was like, boy, Brother Dale, I didn't think they listened to your class, but they did. Salvation. Oh, everybody knows about salvation. You ever known any members of a church to get saved?
Yep.
No. Right. Need to learn to feed the flock of God, and I'm putting young preachers on the hot seat, and so. Brother Josh, you're up. Brother Josh, please come forward and drag a chair and sit right here. Not trying to embarrass. Bring your Bible. No. Not trying to embarrass anybody. What's that? Yep, grab a chair and just sit right. No, right there in the middle. Right for me. That's your Bible?
Yep.
Okay. Whatever works.
I got two of them.
Digital.
The idea is not to embarrass anybody. Okay. I'm not here to attack you. Okay. Don't feel like you're being attacked. Brother Christian, did you feel like you were being attacked? You were in the hot seat. Okay. You're in the hot seat. So you're in the hot seat.
In the hot seat.
But I'm just going to ask you questions, and I want you to answer. I want you to know and to be able to teach and be able to understand what you know. Now, not doing this for no reason. There is a purpose for each one of these. So before we actually get there, 1 Timothy chapter 3, And who'd like to read 1 through 6? 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 6. Brother Christian, go right ahead.
Paul, an apostle.
1 Timothy?
No, 1 Timothy
3.
Paul, person of me, I can read. 1 through 6?
Yep.
This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apathy, not given to wine, no straggler, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know how to rule his own house, how shall he? Or if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation.
Probably should have you read verse 7. Go ahead.
Moreover, he must have a good report of them filled out, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of death.
So again, focus on me, don't worry about them. Are these important?
Absolutely.
What does it mean, one that ruleth well his own house?
His house in order. I'd say finances, his living, his having things under control. Means his, for me, it'd be, what's the word, prompt and like on time and stuff, having things under control, prepared. Mm-hmm.
So do you think you rule well your own house? Or do you rule well your own house?
For the best in my life situation is not living in my own house presently right now.
So you're not in your own house, or you're not running your own life?
Still live. I run my own life. I mean, I have autonomy and pretty free as long as I inform my parents, like, most of the time what's going on, but like I live at home.
So how do you rule your own house?
For me, it's in preparation would be my conduct, my, like I said, my preparation, my having things under control would be the, for me, it'd be finances, for me, it would be readiness and having things controlled and prepared in my life.
So you mentioned finances. Do you have your finances in order?
Yes.
Are you saving any money?
Slowly.
So you don't have a lot saved?
No.
Paying bills?
Yes.
What do you do with your money?
Huh?
What do you do with your money? Is that too personal?
Yeah, it's general. I eat, I save, I go for my hobbies, I guess.
So, how are you preparing to be a pastor in that avenue? Haven't thought about that? It's okay. You don't.
I guess not. I guess I haven't. I guess I'm not seeing where you're leading me.
You said finances.
Okay.
When you were talking about rule well your own house.
Okay.
So that's the reason I asked you, because you were talking about finances.
Well, just having things under control, like if I put money on a car for like the trips I've taken or other stuff, pay that down, have finances under control, live within my means.
Okay. But you're not necessarily saving a lot.
working to. Don't think as much as I probably should, but.
Okay. I will teach you to be apt to teach. Should be able to teach this. Matthew chapter 24. I know we have talked about this in the past. And so, again, this isn't to try to get you. We're not playing get you or gotcha.
Okay.
Not here to make you look bad. I just want to know your understanding. So if you're able to teach, hopefully you're studying. Have you been studying?
Yes.
What are you studying?
Doctrine, what's been talked about lately. I've been spending a lot of time been teaching on admin of baptism and other lessons and other topics I've been preaching on.
So just what you've been preaching?
And teaching. Been doing a lot. I've been looking at... I've been spending a lot of time with baptism lately. I've been spending a lot of time with Old Testament prophets and some of the types coming out of there.
Okay. So Matthew chapter 24. And we'll have someone read a little bit of reading here. 19 through 31. Who'd like to read, Brother Reagan? Go right ahead. A little bit of reading. Sorry, but try to pay attention. 19 through 31.
19 through 31. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the star shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Okay, again, this isn't a gotcha. Okay, so could you tell me the timeline or explain when that is?
I believe this, and I'm not sure you and I haven't talked in
this. It's not a gotcha.
I'm not sure you and I haven't disagreed on this. I believe this personally. I see in the context of this sun and moon being darkened is I believe this is his coming back at the end of the tribulation.
So I'm assuming, correct me if I'm, you get the wrath coming.
Yes.
Where does verse 19 kind of start?
Verse 19 is speaking of about halfway through tribulation, because verse 19 is talking of a statement that goes back to verse number 15, when the people of Israel would see the Antichrist commit the abomination of desolation.
Abomination of desolation.
Yep.
So, then walk me through to verse 31.
Okay.
You don't have to go there, just explain.
People of Israel, verse 15, would see them commit the abomination of desolation. Then verse number 16 through 21, the people of Israel run, take off, flee to the housetop, flee. Verse number 20, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Jesus telling the people of Israel, just run when that event happens. And then verse number, you come down 26 through 31, the Son of Man comes in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus returns back to the earth.
So, second coming.
Yes.
Now let's skip down to 32 through 42. We'd like to read that one for us. Travis, go right ahead.
Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender, put it forth leaves. You know that summer is nigh. But likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come.
Okay, so again, I'm going to reiterate this. Mm-hmm. This isn't a gotcha. Okay, so I'm not trying to trap you. So explain 32 through 41. What's going on there?
The illustrations and preparations and for the judgment of those that are taken. Now, I know,
just tell me what it is. You're not in trouble. I'm not going to let anybody else attack you.
The way I see verse 32 through 40, and I know there's some, including we've discussed it before.
Pause right there. The way I see it, the way I look at it.
Okay.
I'm not playing gotcha. Okay. I know that we disagree on this. That's okay. I'm not trying to get you. Okay. I want you to be able to communicate what you see the Bible says right here and why. The subject is how do you communicate? How do you teach what the Bible says?
Okay, so I'll go to verse number 29 then. For immediately after the tribulation shall the sun be darkened, not give her light, and the stars fall from heaven, and the powers of men be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn and see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory, for he shall send his angels. And then I would go down to verse.
What is that? That you just read. What is
his second coming?
Okay. Second coming. Okay. Now keep going.
Where was I? And then I would explain it. Verse 32, likewise, you shall see these things. Know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass. Verse 36, that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were.
Pause right there. What is verse 36 talking about?
His coming back.
Which one?
The second.
It's coming. It's 7.
Yes.
This pen is just not working.
There's a container.
And I'll tell you.
Container. Open it.
Yes.
Okay. So keep going.
Okay.
I'm not. It's not a gotcha. Okay.
I know.
Reiterate this. Keep going.
37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And this is where, okay, if it's me and I can, I think I know or not, but where I would do some teaching and some explaining when I come to verse number.
You 30, are teaching. You are explaining.
37. Okay, the days of Noah were present. The days that they before the flood, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away. That's why I say, huh?
So what is that one talk?
That's talking about the judgment of the lost at the second coming of the Lord. And this is why I would explain why I believe this, and I know that, and I want to address, if I can, those who say rapture, this is my hang-up, and this is where I'm at when I see this verse, and I would teach this verse. For they knew not until the son of the flood came and took them away. Who did the flood? And then that's the same statement that I was talking about when you come to verse number 40, two shall be in the field, one taken, the other left. When I go to verse number 37, who was taken in the flood and who was left in the flood? For me, this is the second coming of the Lord, because when I harmonize and keep in statement that this verse, those who were taken in the flood were taken in judgment and destruction of sins, and those who were left from the judgment. And in this verse, in this context, it's denied to us all the time. Oh no, we're not influenced by the Left Behind series at all. Well, this is where that comes in there, because I'm confused and I'm always hung up on this. Who did the flood take away? It took away not the saved, not those who were on the boat to keep them from the judgment, not taken away from. It was those were left from the judgment, and the flood took those away in destruction.
Sorry. The ones that are left, saved, or taken, are lost.
Yes.
Okay. So, question. Back to verse 36. That's the second coming.
The day and hour knoweth no man. That's why Jesus said, I think above the verse, that the time would be shortened a little bit.
So, do we know when the second coming is coming?
In general, but Jesus said that it would be shortened a little bit. We don't know the exact. We have a general timeline of the 7 years being shortened a little bit. But the day and hour knoweth no man, Jesus says.
You're referring to day and hour. So, who's going in the rapture?
Who's going in the rapture? The saved are taken in the rapture, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter.
When are they? When is the rapture take place?
Before the judgment, before the tribulation starts, the beginning of it. The rapture is the event, undisputedly, that kicks everything off in this chapter, Matthew 24.
Okay. Can you show me that?
Yes, I can. And quick. This chapter of for this and in the timeline, I would point to verse number 14. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world for a witness in all nations. Then shall the end come. And then speaking to his disciples as members of the nation of Israel there and addressing them as Jews, and in the context of this, ye shall see the abomination of desolation. So the rapture in context in this chapter happens before verse number 15. And in context, if you want me to go other places, I can show.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Well, 1 Thessalonians is simple.
Okay. So you're just making a statement that the rapture happens before 15 and 16.
Yes.
Okay.
The rapture has happened and the saved in the church are gone.
That's great that you make that statement. Where in the Bible do you see that? That they are taken before the tribulation.
Okay, I go to 1 Thessalonians 4. They're taken up. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the church is taken out, they're not appointed under wrath. Verse number 9, God hath not appointed us into wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I can use pictures of Lot and those taken before the judgment comes. Taken before things happen. God has not appointed us to be a part of that.
So, having used Lot,
spoken of in so you go Genesis 19, him and his family removed from Sodom and Gomorrah before the fire came. You go the and then here in 1 Thessalonians 5, not appointed to. And I think there's another statement. I'm drawing blank on this, but still on 1 Thessalonians 5:9, the picture where the saved are taken out before the wrath.
Okay, and you're using Lot.
Yes, in Genesis 19, the picture of him and his daughters removed by those angels before the fire came.
You should notice, Luke 17 talks about the days of Noah and the days of Lot.
The days of Noah and the days of Lot, yes.
In context, they are the same time of what? Matthew 24.
Same time, Matthew 24.
Okay. So that you are going to hold that the days of Noah are the second coming, then also the days of what?
Lot be
Lot second be the second coming.
Okay.
Now, the outset, everybody, I don't believe this. Okay. But I'm not here to attack you. So, where do you have, how do you, just one verse tells you the rapture is before me. Tribulation.
And then when I know about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, where the Lord takes us, and also in Revelation 4, where before the events of the tribulation happens.
Go to Revelation 4. So.
Before the events of the tribulation happen in
Revelation. Before we do that, before we go to there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Yeah.
Is there places where God's people experience wrath?
His people in not his wrath.
Okay.
So I could go to Jeremiah 30, talking about the time of Jacob's trouble, the wrath that's coming upon Israel, and the wrath here in 1 Thessalonians 5, if I take a much bigger portion of it, I believe it talks somewhere about the verse 2 talks about the day of the Lord coming up as a thief in the night. So that's talking about the end times. That's talking about when he returns. And then sudden destruction, peace and safety, but sudden destruction cometh on as a woman with child, they shall not escape. So it's talking about the end times, talking about judgment coming in the day of the Lord.
Okay.
We're not appointed to that, he said.
Yes.
In that context.
Okay. Revelation chapter 4, 5, or 4, you said. So where do you see the rapture there?
In picture before chapter 6, when the Lord opened the seals out of the judgment upon the earth.
Wait, which one?
Chapter 6, verse 1.
Chapter the Lord, 6, verse 1?
The Lord opens, the Lamb opens the first of the six seal book.
Okay.
And he begins to pour out his judgment.
Okay.
Before that happens, just in picture, because it's the same to... For me, it's the same as I can harmonize with 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, say, the saved are called up with the trumpet of God and the voice of the archangel, and they're taken up. Revelation 4, verse 1, I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice I heard was, as it were, the sound of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be taken hereafter. John is taken to heaven. And he witnesses the events in heaven. He witnesses the saints given their crowns, which they cast before the feet of the Lamb, and then the celebration with the lamb and the lamb being presented, and it opens that seal book.
So are you saying
in heaven?
Are you saying the trumpet is the same trumpet? Because we've had this conversation.
As it were, the sound of a trumpet. That's the sound, that's the trumpet. I believe that's the same trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4 that is the rapture.
So then read that again. After this, verse 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a
trumpet.
So was it a trumpet?
It was as it were of a trumpet.
But what is it?
A voice saying, come up.
So is there, is this the trumpet referring to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4?
I look and it says it's the exact same thing, and it's the same result. What happens when the trumpet, the sound of the archangel in 1 Thessalonians 4? We which are alive will be caught up, will be brought up. It's the same actions, the same thing.
The problem that you have here is this one talks about a voice. That one talks about a trumpet.
For me, I bring it back because it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, the voice.
Well, the trumpet, there is it, yeah.
With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God.
Yeah, I'm not trying to attack you on the subject, okay? I want to see if you have the answers, okay? I only got like 5 minutes. If you're going to be a pastor, you don't have anybody else to rely on.
Good.
You cannot just dictate and tell someone this is what it is without explaining why. There are such things as valid and real questions.
Yeah.
And it cannot be because I said so. It has to be here in the Word, to hear in the Word, to hear in the Word. Walking someone through context. So, I know this is, it's not, again, an attack on the doctrine, on what you see here. Why do you know this? Where do you see it? Can you explain it to make someone very plainness of speech and walk them through? Now, so far I've been confused trying to follow. I see what you're saying, but I have a hard time seeing where it fits the rest. Now, back to Matthew 24. So then, if this is the case, verse 42, who is supposed to watch? Verse 42 says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
In this context, I believe, and I'd go back up to, if I were teaching this, I'd go back, I'd go back up to at least verse number 14. Verse 2, that these are members. He's teaching his church, but as members of the nation of Israel, because the judgment and the tribulation is happening to the nation of Israel. So he's speaking to the nation of Israel. Watch, for they know not what hour he does come. But they know when these signs come, he is coming quickly. And what we have in Revelation, I would say this, the the 12th chapter about when the woman who is the nation of Israel was chased to the prepared place for her in the Old Testament, where they were in Isaiah, the 16th chapter, I believe, when the people were outcast and they were hidden in a prepared place for them, they were to know that Jesus was coming to deliver them quickly.
Okay, so,
just a quick deal. So, if that's going to jump ahead to chapter 25, very same thing.
Yep.
In verse number 13, watch therefore, for you know not what day of the house where the Son of Man cometh. So, evidently, these virgins is Israel, not the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And,
interesting.
Yeah. And even verse 47, verily I say unto you that he shall make him, or well, I'll probably just read the whole thing, but we won't go there because we don't have time. If, okay, so here is the point. It's not a gotcha. Okay, I'm not trying to attack. The whole point of this lesson is you need to rightly divide and know the doctrine yourself, and not just what you have heard and what you have learned, but you have to have the answer. Brother Sean brought it out. You have to have the answer as to why the Bible says to watch ye therefore. And if that's Israel, later it's talking about 25, the virgins, or Israel. Later in this very same thing about making him a ruler of his own household, is Israel, verse 20, 45, is Israel the ruler over God's household? Is Israel the ruler over God's household? Now, and here's the point, right? You don't have to answer it. Go home and study up. Because if you're going to keep it that it's Israel, then that means Israel is the ruler of God's household. And verse 25, who is to watch, then those virgins are Israel. That's fine. Again, I'm not trying to attack you.
Okay, and I'm even reminded of other verses. If I had more time, I'd go back on the watch thing.
Okay, yeah, give you a lot of time. Okay. So here's the point.
I'd go back on
first of all,
I'd change the watch thing.
Well, then if you change the watch thing, then it doesn't fit the context of 32 now. Okay, now, so here's the thing. Again, I'm not trying to attack you, okay? You need to be able to answer these questions and not just say it's because I said so. It can't be because you said so. It has to be because in context, this is what it says and where it leads. Okay? Sister Robert.
And with the harmony of the scripture.
Harmony of the scripture. Okay.
Just that's anything. That's not just what Brother Josh was talking
about. You're right. And I'm not, right?
It's anything.
In the scripture. Right? So again, we're done with this subject, right? Okay. Go home. You studied out. You better know. You better be able to say it. I don't agree with you. I think that's talking about the rapture. Okay. Now, I'm just going to give you a quick example. Sorry, Brother Nathan, I'm stealing your time. Just recently, chapter 25, Brother Henry talked about 25 and these 10 virgins, saying, he corrected, that these are saved individuals.
Well,
I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying you are. What's the problem if you say that they're saved?
That's universal church.
Well, you've got problems in that.
They're losing their salvation.
Okay. And so this is the point. You have to keep whatever you're teaching, you have to be able to keep it in the whole context, in the whole harmony. And don't just, oh yeah, I've heard this, I know this, and that's it. And here's the thing. You better study it out and know it. Not because somebody told you. You have to know it. And you cannot, never, this is how it is because that's what I say.
Yeah, no, never.
Okay? And there's another, this is what I say because I'm going to throw out, shotgun you so much, I'm going to cause confusion until you just throw your hands up and say, okay, whatever. You have to explain it to people. All right, I'm way out of time. Stealing Brother Nathan's time. Questions, comments? Okay, I hope it wasn't not gone.
Proverbs says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And it's been said so many times that we're desperate. We're gospel-hearted to this, but chapter and verse.
Yes.
If we can't give chapter and verse, we have no business telling anybody or saying anything. Then we're no better than any false religion out there. But we've got all of us, pastors and preachers, we've got to get back to giving chapter and verse. If you don't give chapter and verse, you shouldn't say it.
And how you got there?
The multitude of counselors. There's more than one verse. There's a multitude of verses. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have them, then don't say it. Don't teach it.
Yep. Like, yes.
Every doctrine. No, I'm not talking about this.
You're right.
I'm talking about every doctrine.
Every doctrine.
Because you go through them, and in that multitude, if they don't harmonize, you're going to find the multitude doesn't harmonize, and you got to go back. And so that's where the safety is.
All right, Brother Nathan, I'm stealing your time. Please come forward.